Hey everybody, it is Lady H here. With me is Lady D.
Hi everyone.
And we are going to do a mini-sode, which we taped directly after our Ricky Wilde episode. You may have heard it. It's be broken down in multiple parts, I can tell you right now, because it is extra long. And we are going to dedicate this 5-10 minutes to talk about the thing that's close to all of our hearts, Cowboy Carter. We want to talk about the music because we are book nerds. We want to match it with some books for you. So we're going to go like quick. First of all, does anybody have anything they want to say directly just about the music, especially what their favorite song of the week is? Because I know it changes.
Cowboy Carter picks favorite song right now is Second Most Wanted with Miley Cyrus. And I'm not a natural Miley fan. I know her music because it's not bad music. It's just popular, right? So you catch it. But when I say Miley's voice on that song is so like classic Western, it's almost like a yodel to it. You can feel it. And I was like, Miley, let me find out you grew up a little bit, girl. Like her voice is so mature on it. And just the words. So very much so Ricky Wilde in the sense of like romance. I'll be your shotgun rider till the day we die. Like we rocking, we riding. It's like a very Western Bonnie and Clyde feel to it, really. That is my favorite song. When I say it's on repeat, Jolene is my second, and it's just kind of like, you know, don't play with my man. I told my husband, I said, don't make me have to tell about the Jolene, right? I'm always talking trash, but Second Most Wanted is definitely probably my favorite, but I always like a little edgy love situation, you know, and they're talking about we're both young, but, you know we're going to be in this for the long haul. So I connected that to Beverly Jenkins. And Beverly Jenkins is another notable Black romance author, but she does a historical fiction. So if you've never touched a Beverly Jenkins book, you have to. We did a modern book, a shorter novella. She did Rare Danger, but her historical fiction has a huge following. I haven't read this book, but she has a book called Night Hawk, and it's about the American West. She calls it a high stakes romance. That's how the write-up goes. And they use three terms. They said vigilante, mob, outlaw, and preacher. And I was sold with that. So when I think about Cowboy, Second Most Wanted, it just, like I said, it's a little edgy. So that's my book and Cowboy Carter moment. So very much so. I've been enjoying. And I think what makes Cowboy Carter so phenomenal is the history. I love the history and what Beyonce was able to do with like just tapping into the Chitlin' circuit and Black people have tried to enter country music. It was so intentional that it made me love the album more because I was like, oh no, it's real deep. Even if you don't love it, y'all gonna get this history. So I'm telling everybody about like the backstories of the songs and how many tracks and how intentional she was and the imagery that she's using. So I will say Beyonce is musically genius with some of the stuff that she does. She's extremely intentional. Nothing's by osmosis. So
wait a minute, number of tracks?
Yeah, so it's 27. So mm-hmm. The 27 songs represented 27 stops on the Chitlin' circuit that Black people were forced to do. So there's a clip in the middle of the album and it's like these a bunch of clips and it sounds like old school songs. It sounds like old album records and it's clips from like Chitlin' circuit songs. So the 27, it mirrors the stops. One of the images on the album was like a poster and it's these red and blue. And if you look, they're all titles of like Chitlin' circuit acts. You know, we were forced to do these type of things in segregation for entertainment. So like even that is so very intentional, you know, using the song, I think that John Lennon write it, but like Little Black Birds about the Little Rock Nine in Arkansas. So all of those things pulling in the first Black woman to go mainstream in country and how they didn't want to play Beyonce on the radio, same with her, and using these Black country artists that are in there kind of turning the country world on its head, using Willie Nelson and Dolly Parton, like, oh, okay, don't worry about it. You know, it's my co-signing, which is interesting in itself too, similar to how we had to do a slave narrative, right? Like, let me get this white person to write on it so y'all can go ahead and read it and not think we lying. So they kind of are her white patrons a little bit because of that for entrance. So I think that's an interesting conversation too. In the country world space, is she accepted because these white patrons signed off on her? So I think that's a bigger conversation too when we think about Harlem Renaissance, which was, you know, why Langston Hughes and Zora Neale Hurston fall out over white patronage. Like, yes, they're giving us a platform, but at what expense? So it's interesting what you can do with it. But I've been enjoying Cowboy Carter really for just the conversation it creates when you study it.
Amen. Okay, thank you so much. All right, Miss Simi, what you got?
Okay, so favorite song of the week right now is Tyrant. That beat drop. I can't. The nails, the acoustic, and then she came with the beat drop. I said, ma'am, don't do this to me. So right now, song of the week is Tyrant. It was Just for Fun. Just for fun got me in my feelings place. I was enjoying it. I was like, okay, because country is not the genre that I usually gravitate towards. I like some songs. When I was listening to it, I could appreciate how great the music was. She was doing her good singing, those harmonies, the lyric content, and then Bodyguard hit. And I said, ooh, this is a little tune. And then Just for Fun came and I said, oh, my heart. And then Daughter. I said, yes, this is for the quiet ones. AKA me. So this album, I was not expecting to love it as much as I do. Because again, country is not my genre that I usually go to. But as soon as Bodyguard hit, and then from then, she just went full through. Because why would you put the transitions, Two Hands to Heaven, and then River Dance, and then Yai? And I was just like, what are you doing? It's Sweet Honey Bucking. Look at that horse. I love this album. I've been playing it at least twice a day since it came out. Going to work, coming back. I play at least 3 to 4 songs on it every single day because I have to hear it. Right now, it's Tyrant that has me in a chokehold.
Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. Miss Amy, look into my camera, AKA eyes. It's just the two of us here. When you hear Tyrant, do you see Cowboy?
Hangman on the Page?
Yes, there we go. Yes,
absolutely. Duh. Yes. On the WrestleCast, I said I need any talented person because it's not me to edit Adam Page to Tyrant. I need it to happen. I need it. Of course I thought of Hangman Adam Page. As soon as you said Hangman got that word, I said, hey, who does? My guy. Let's go. So, yeah.
Do you have any headcanon? It says Cowboy's riding on his horse, right? You owe me a debt. Have you been writing in your mind?
I have. There's been like a bunch of plot bunnies just riding around in this mind. I'm thinking of an enemies to lovers type of situation. Is things are happening. I'm trying to figure out a way to make a gag. Like, it's just, I have to. This lady, she always does this to me. She did this to me also with Renaissance. Just, I haven't written in so long, but she's making me want to do it.
Oh, yes, because I have a request. First of all, poor Rain. He's like, why am I here for this filth? But, okay, so I have a request, all right, because I'm not going to write it. So
I might not either.
Oh, no. Walk with me now, right? Well, I should say ride with me now, right?
I'm walking. Okay. I'm scared of horses, but we're going to go.
You'll get over it. A few more times, look at that horse. I'm going to start talking.
Don't do it.
So you have to do it because you know Hangman Adam Page in an appreciation better than I do, because remember, I'm reluctant because, you know, I'm just that white man, totally. But you have an appreciation for Hangman Adam Page, right? Okay. So I'm going to keep it very wrestling focused. The man that he stole from, which is like self-insert, right? So
Yes.
Is Swerve.
Okay, because I don't like Swerve, so.
Neither do I. So that's why he said, I hated you then, I envy you now. And make it filthy.
Got it.
Ding. Okay, which book or books would you recommend reading alongside your listening of Cowboy Carter?
So the first person that just jumped to my mind was Beverly Jenkins. So I've just started reading hers. The last one I read, it was about the man that was passing. It's called Forbidden. The main character, she's like going out to the, she's trying to go out to California because her parents died because she's trying to open a restaurant, and she gets bamboozled by someone on the road and gets rescued by this man called Ryan Fontaine. And for all intents and purposes, he's a white man, but he's actually passing. And so he has to like figure out if he's going to leave his white man life to go with this black woman or if he's going to keep going. So that was the one I thought of. And then the other one, it's called Destiny Surrender, also by Beverly Jenkins. It's about this woman who's a prostitute. She kind of falls in love with one of her clients, but he has to go away and she gets pregnant. And so they have to like kind of, it's like a forced proximity where they get married, things like that. It's very drama filled. It's very soapy. It's very fun, and it's like Western-y. Those were like the two books that I thought of. And also Rebecca Weatherspoon has like a cowboy series, but I haven't read those yet.
I have. We'll get to them.
Ooh.
Okay. Are we clear with you?
We are clear.
Rain, you done tipped your hat.
That was not. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that was on purpose. Yeah, that was on purpose.
For you, I know that you are going to be doing, and you have done a series about Black country. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I don't know if you've done your Beyonce episode yet. But...
No, not yet. Not yet. Okay. By the time this, I'm just saying not yet, because I don't want to write no check I can't cash.
That's all right.
For the month of March, I did a Western Suite, which is just like a collection of episodes on Carefree Black Nerd, where I focused on the American South and the American West as it pertains to Black cowboys and cowgirls, essentially going over some of the history, the forgotten history or blatantly ignored history, starting with the first Black comic book cowboy and discussing his origins and how he only got two issues of a comic book because of racism, of course. Then we moved into the history of American cattle and how a lot of the cattle was pulled from. Forgive me. It's been a minute since I did that episode, but pulled from Africa in certain parts that where you could track the livestock here in America based off of the American slave trade. And then circling back, because I'm in Dallas, there was a installation about the American Black cowboys and cowgirls and their participation in the Western culture and whatnot. And it was here in San Antonio, I believe. Now, this was a couple years ago, so my reporting on it came from different articles and different like firsthand accounts, because unfortunately I wasn't able to see it, or else I would have been there taking pictures. And then we end with The Harder They Fall, which is a Western that I did not watch when it first came out. So everything that I give you there is live, brand new idea come straight to my head from watching the movie. But the last portion of this Western Suite will be my discussion over the album, the Beyonce Cowboy Carter. It hasn't come out because I overshot the amount of research that I was going to have to do. I thought I could just listen to the album, do my little stuff, and be done. But there's so much, and I know I'm not going to cover everything. When Britney's conversation about the scholarliness of Beyonce and approach that she took with this album, I know for a fact there's going to be some things that I'm just not going to get, but the amount of articles and different threads and accounts that I found, this might take me maybe another week or so to really bring this episode to life, because I'm working on it, y'all. So hopefully it'll be out soon. But that is the Carefree Black Nerd podcast, which it's a podcast about representation in comics and related media. I just took this month to really focus on Black American South and Western culture and how we were ignored and history has been rewritten.
Do you have any books that you would recommend that remind you of Cowboy Carter?
So no, because I think I took their prompt the wrong way, so I don't have any books. I have two books for two specific songs, but those are not Western nothing. Those ain't got those books is some contemporary romance books, but that ain't. I think Beverly Jenkins is the perfect answer.
No, we'll take it. We'll take it. You know, it doesn't have to be a literal.
Okay. Well, Tyrant, that has been on repeat since the 29th, and it's going to stay on repeat. After replaying that all day yesterday, One Night by Eric Jerome Dickey came to mind. One Night is about a young lady who's hustling to survive, and she ended up trying to scam this man at a gas station. It's raining there in California. I forget the specific inciting incident that got them together, but they ended up spending the entire book inside of a hotel room for one night. And it is wild. I mean, there's a lot of sex. So if you like the sex, yeah. But aside from that, it is a really well done story. And I'm in awe just because for that full length novel, they were in that one room.
I think she tried to scam him on, I think it was a purchase or something like that.
Yeah, it was like a PlayStation or a MacBook or something.
Wait, yeah. We find that book and read it again, because you said that, and that's just, my eyes is perked up. Like,
oh yeah, they fucking in there. Excuse me, they're.
Oh, making, I know. Listen, I know.
Yes, yeah, they doing some things, and yeah. I haven't read in a few years, but I just remember, you know, you don't remember everything someone says, but you do. Cliche, but you do remember how they make you feel. And I remember that book, I could like smell the rain. And I was like sitting at a Denny's when I read it. And I think in the book, they were in IHOP or Denny's, like in the beginning. And so, like that book, I remember certain pieces, but I remember them having a lot of sex. And then, so if that's your type of story, please listen to Tyrant and read One Night by Eric Jerome Dickey, because that is where it's at. And then my second one is Sweet Honey Buckin'. I used to throw some counts back in the day. So now I was like, yeah, this is right up my alley. So I will replay that every day to start my day, to get me up. And B-Boy Blues by James Earl Hardy is what came to mind. And I think because there's not, that I'm aware of, a lot of contemporary books with queer characters that are not queer Black men, that capture that ballroom element, that deep house club element that I grew up in. And I think B-Boy Blues would be the closest, because it does have that late 80s, early 90s hip hop aesthetic, which I think pairs well with Sweet Honey Bucket, only because the Baltimore club beat that goes with that, where you bucking and Jay setting and throwing counts and all that. I cannot think of a book that has that same energy or representation, but the closest would have to be B-Boy Blues. Not even an Elan Harris book, which I love him to death, but I don't know that any of his books for me comes close or closer than like a B-Boy Blues. So that's my other recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Mo?
Wow, so the music is just, I just listen to that. I mean, I find something new on each new listen. So that definitely been my album of the current right now. My favorite songs, I would say Bodyguard, definitely. As soon as I heard it, I was like, okay, it definitely reminds me of like the 2000s, like that little pop era. It kind of reminds me of Soak of the Sun by Sheryl Crow. It kind of reminds me of that, but it's just that feeling where you listen to it and I'm just, hey, this is definitely a song I can definitely get down with. I'm surprised no one said Yaya. Yaya gave me Tina Turner vibes just from the beat alone. I was just like, oh, she got her Tina Turner bag with this one. Love that one. Also, it's a couple other songs. Two Hands to Heaven. That whole end of the thing, she getting real filthy in her music. And this is where you have to listen to the lyrics and see what she's like really talking about. Because like, the Two Hands in Heaven was definitely a good one, but it was one of them that was like real short. And folks was like, how can you have a song that is just that short?
Desert Eagle.
Yes, Desert Eagle, yeah. Desert Eagle definitely had people that feels like, how could you just have that song being like just close to 2 minutes long or something like that? It was just one of those songs. You just listen to the next thing, you know, here comes Riverdance, and she's like, bounce on it, no way. I was like, yeah, you talking about Riverdance, but you said bounce on that shit, no hands. I was like, well, we know what you're doing. But book-wise, wow. Lorraine said One Night by Earl Jerome Dickey was a good one. I would think about Jonathan by Earl Jerome Dickey. I would say the whole Jolene aspect of it plays into it because of the character, the male character in that book. He sleeps with he doesn't know that this is the wife's daughter that he's messing with, that he slept with, that he cheated on her with or whatnot. Didn't like know that until, you know, until later on it was revealed and everything. But they went back home to like Alabama, and like her father killed her mother or something. It was just a real craziness, but that's like a book I can just say I could pay with that because of the Jolene aspect of it. Probably number one, but I can't think of it right now. But that really just stuck out to me when we talk about books to read to pay with that.
Thank you. Lady D, do you have any, or you want me to skip you?
I honestly don't have anything because I haven't listened to the album yet.
Okay.
Hold on. How about this? Tell us about, you say you heard Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages. You think about those two?
Okay, so I only heard them for a brief second from what I heard, which means I did not get to like listen to all the lyrics and analyze them. But I love the music, the instrumentals. I love
it. Okay.
It rings country to me, even if people don't want to admit that it's country, because there's variations of country and everybody wants to try to put out there's only one type of country. I'm like, no, there's not, you know,
right.
some of the people y'all want to call country aren't really country, but Listed. You know,
a certain Swift is from Pennsylvania, so we ain't gonna talk about that.
Well, I was going to say that. I was going to say, like, even one of my faves, you know, is Canadian, and you know, but it's still, there's pop country, there's traditional country, there's bluegrass country, there's Appalachian country, there's all kinds of country, but people don't only want to put one label to it. Fits the narrative.
Got it. In terms of like listening, for me, I switch around a lot, but if I have just a few songs, I start with Texas Hold'em, and then I'm not going to stop until we get to Daughter in particular. So we're going to get Bodyguard, we're going to get Jolene, we're going to get Daughter. I like Spaghetti as well. Alligator Tears. I mean, if I have anything that I would skip, it's Levi's Jeans. And I like that song, but if I had to skip something just so I can get to Two Hands to Heaven
and Tyrant. Hold on. Time out.
Yes.
See, you bring up Levi's Jeans. Mm-hmm. And now that we have Simi on, I can just give Simi her flowers for the whole Twitter. She made Post Malone sound very clean.
Listen, he looks unwashed, but those vocals are clean. Okay. He looks like he doesn't use soap and water, but he gargles like,
I just think about Simi saying the tweet that was just cranking up the whole time.
She said, I'm going to gargle this Dr. Thermogress, and I am going to go in on this song. And I said, good for you, Post Malone. You face tattooed man.
Someone say Beyonce put him in the washing machine and told him to get to work, and that was done.
She did. She said, you better do your sister Mary Clarence runs, and you better figure it out, because you're going to be on this song, and you better get it together, and get it together he did.
Amen. Just Rain, you should see your face. You were like, what kind of foolishness did I step into?
Look, I'm here for it. Yeah, he is dirty though. But yeah, I'm here for it.
That is hilarious. All right. So, you know, interest of time, I'm going to be really quick. Beverly Jenkins, as everybody has mentioned, she does historical romance. She's best known for historical romance. When she does American romance, a lot of it takes place like towards the end of enslavement, towards Reconstruction and going west. So a lot of what you're going to read are about outlaws and that trail of tears, literally, and what was life like in the frontier for Black and brown people, indigenous people as well. So you can find a bunch of them, and a lot of their stories are interconnected. So it's a community-based thing. So I had a few, but since she was mentioned and we're telling you, you need to be reading Miss Beth, period, do that. Missy Me mentioned Rebecca Weatherspoon's Cowboys of California. I read those in like 2022. Essentially, it's about this actress, Black actress from, I think, Diane Carroll, who married a stuntman. And then when they retired, they bought a ranch. And then generationally, one of their sons went into acting. Some of them worked at the ranch. And then, but the romance novel is about the three gentlemen, one of whom is an actor, one of whom is works on a ranch. And I cannot remember what the third one is doing. So it is their story. So generationally, Black cowboys and affluent Black cowboys. The other classic story is, because I always, Lord, I be getting a name, the BJ phrasing. I can hear Mo jump in the same phrasing. Brenda Jackson. She has the Westmoreland legacy, and she's been prolific because there's about 20 of those books. I would recommend going to her website and getting the reading order. You don't necessarily need to, but there's some cousins who, you know, there's some family history, and you have the direct line of Westmoreland, but then there's like some cousins that come in and that have all this land and they all find love. I will say the critique about this series is that oftentimes the cowboys court virgins. So you have some people like, oh, it's outdated where the man is worldly and the woman is virginal. So that is a trope that she does frequent. She has a reason for it about some other things. It's a good enough reason, but I'm just letting you know, it is like your Harlequin Blaze type of spice. So that's mildish spice, but you know, family friendly-ish. But you know, if you are interested in Black cowboys and are just want to visit that space, the books are there and have been there for a really long time. So enjoy. Does anybody have anything else they want to say about Cowboy Carter before we giddy on out of here? No? Alrighty, well, thank you so much for joining us for this really quick mini episode. Let us know what songs you are listening to this week. And if you know of any Black cowboy books that we did not mention or authors, please tweet me and let me know. Also, Miss Simi and Mo Reese are on the WrestleCast podcast, where they talk about AEW, WWE, and everything in between. Make sure you are listening. I will make sure that I put the links and the show notes. All right, everybody good? Are we going to come on and say bye?
Adios.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.